Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.
Thanks again for joining us here on Circles of Change Tax Weekend, although I probably should lift on that one. We don't need a reminder of that. Well, it's a real pleasure. My first guest is actually in the studio with me today, Leah Marquez Peterson, who's President and CEO of the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Welcome.
Thank you.
Great.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we were smiling at one another because Leah and I actually know one another from being both being radio show talk hosts at another station a couple years back.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And I really enjoy being on the radio, and you do a wonderful job.
Well, you know, we've got the gift of gab, right?
I guess so.
That's right.
How many hours do we have here?
That's right. Exactly. Yeah, 20 minutes. We'll fill
okay.
it up. Let me give a brief introduction for those of you certainly outside our state or city that would not know Leah. She is the president CEO, as I said, of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, a position she assumed in 2009, so just 18 months ago, serving, although prior, on the board of directors for many years. The Chamber's mission, of course, is to advocate and provide services that grow its members' businesses. And under Leah's guidance, the Chamber has expanded its programs and grown from 380 businesses to over 700 today. And mind you, this is when most chambers across the U.S. have experienced precipitous drops in participants, revenues, and connections. Armed with an undergraduate degree in marketing and entrepreneurship from the University of Arizona and an MBA from Pepperdine University, Leah is owner and designated broker for TucsonBizForSale.com, a business brokerage firm which assists businesses and sellers of their business. And she's also served as the director, executive director for Greater Tucson Leadership for 4 years. She's very active in economic development and philanthropic circles in Tucson, the state of Arizona, and most recently on a national level, with her being appointed by the Obama administration to the National Women's Business Council. She is the only Arizonan and Latina on the 14-member council, which advises the president on issues particularly relevant to women business owners. Other current and previous leadership on board and associations include San Miguel High School, the DM50, the Tucson Airport Authority, as well as the Governor's Small Business Council, Pima County Small Business Commission, which she was a founder, the University of Arizona Hispanic Advisor Council, and then last but not least, the Tucson chapter of the National Association of Women Business Owners, in which she was the president. So in addition to all this, Leah leads a very active family life, too, with her husband, Dan, and two children, one of which is doing her homework, I think, here in the studio.
Supposed to be.
Supposed to be. Great. Well, Leah, again, thank you for all that you continue to do for Tucson, and now obviously in this important nexus as one of the leaders of one of the several chambers that we actually have in Greater Tucson. Perhaps we might start out first and foremost and just explain what is a chamber of commerce for those who might not be familiar.
Yeah, that's a good question, and it's interesting how many people don't really understand what a chamber of commerce does. I mean, people who join a chamber are business owners, typically, or business managers, and they're really looking for, I'd almost define it as three different buckets. A chamber of commerce can provide advocacy, so they're speaking out on a business's behalf at their local, state, county, or even federal level. They're helping you promote your business, so there's a lot that different chambers do around promotion. And then certainly resources, I define as a third bucket. They're the place to call when you need assistance or data or statistics or maybe even connections to various agencies.
And in fact, some chambers across the country even have access to special consolidated programs that then can give discounts to those who are member chambers, for
right.
example, like healthcare plans. You know, but I think this advocacy piece, people underestimate the power, and that is you speak on behalf of these businesses regarding legislation, codes, licensing, those type of things.
No, absolutely. Think how busy our legislators are, especially our state legislators right now in this state. And they need to be able to go to somebody or a group of people to ask opinion and to get feedback. And so often chambers of commerce play that role. Unfortunately, small business owners don't often realize how important that is. And I know how busy it is running the business, working the front line after these last couple of years. But really, that advocacy role is key.
And it's a matter also of giving back for the greater good, which is harder to see when you're also trying to keep your eye on your own bottom line.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the other piece for the chambers is what a wonderful repository or connection front so that small business owners don't feel like they're out there by themselves. That you've got many, many events, do you not, for business-to-business engagement and knowledge sharing and best practices?
We do. We do. We have a lot of events, 2 to 3 that occur every month that are a mixer or a luncheon, which is pretty typical of different chambers. We also do some different business education workshops. In our case, because we're a Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, we actually do quarterly luncheons entirely in Spanish. And we've been reaching out quite heavily to Sonora or just across the border to different cities and chambers of commerce in Mexico and others to really create that and improve that relationship.
Leah, can you give us a sense nationwide how many cultural-specific chambers of commerce there are? Such as Hispanic. I know from my own work up in Seattle that there's a very active Korean Chamber of Commerce.
Right.
But is that typical in communities or just our border towns?
No, I think
it
is. Hispanic chambers are pretty typical in some of the major metropolitan areas. And there are about 200 of Hispanic Chambers of Commerce across the nation. And I know that because there's a U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce that is very active and we all belong and participate there. In terms of the other ethnic groups, I'm not sure of the numbers.
So if I was a business owner, why would I consider, because many times businesses do belong to multiple chambers.
Mm-hmm.
So what's unique about the a membership in the Hispanic Chamber versus the Oro Valley Chamber or the Tucson Chamber, for those
right.
that are local?
So locally or even whatever city someone
city
might be listening
in, yeah.
from, the fastest growing demographic in our nation is the Hispanic community. In Arizona alone, we saw a 46% increase in the Hispanic population.
That was per the census.
Per the census, right. Just came out. Now, those in Arizona and in any of the border states, this is not a surprise.
Right.
But I think what so many businesses out there, non-Hispanic owned businesses or corporations, haven't really sat down to figure out how does that fit within their strategic plan or their marketing plan? How do you go about reaching the Hispanic community? What I've learned in the last 18 months is just how diverse the Hispanic community is. It is not as simple as just translating a brochure. And so some of even the special workshops we do and some of the outreach we do is really trying to help businesses reach out to this demographic, this fast-growing demographic, and see how that perhaps might impact their product or service that they're offering.
Interesting. So this isn't just about the marketing of their product, but the product itself could be influenced by a different thought process of a voice of the customer.
Right. So it's
give me an example that you think about of a firm you're working with or a company to help them understand how by reshaping their product or service, it could indeed open up new doors for them.
Well, one that came to mind immediately was recently meeting with a health center here in town that they take quite a number of access patients or Medicaid patients in the state of Arizona. And a lot of those tend to be Hispanic. And we were talking about how to do better outreach. We've actually launched a Hispanic Health Committee because we're trying to work on such issues. We have so many members that deal with health-related issues. We're trying to gather them in one place. And during that committee meeting, someone mentioned, you know, when the Hispanic community comes to the health center, it's cultural, but you tend to bring so many of your family members. So they had to rebuild their lobbies and their waiting areas to understand kind of that cultural piece to the fact that it couldn't look just like something that was standardized perhaps across the nation. And that was something they tweaked their product or service to realize that the family would be attending when there was an issue with one of our family members and could be quite a crowd and you needed to accommodate for some of that.
That's really true. I know some business individuals in the health and beauty area and looking to appeal to more African-American women. Well, an African woman culturally, that a day of beauty is just that. It is not a fly and get your hair cut, get out. It's a much longer process. So this particular organization really recognizes their field of view of service could be a lot longer, but even what kind of drinks and things to nosh in the lobby they needed to appeal to that was all part of that experience for the African-American women.
Sure, and that's just one example. There's so many different ways, and it's not only tweaking your product or service, but also then how do you do that outreach? And in our case, what I think probably is an eye-opener for a lot of different businesses, small or large, in our community, has been how relationship-based the Hispanic community is. Business is not typically done via email, and it's done face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball, and it's based a lot on word-of-mouth. So by having so many events in our Chamber of Commerce, we're able to help businesses connect and perhaps pass out flyers and coupons and get that word of mouth recommendation and really build that connection. I think what people would say when they attend our particular Hispanic Chamber of Commerce is very familia feeling, very mm-hmm. family feeling. Yeah. You come in and it's very warm and open. We're really there to help one another. And you do not have to be Hispanic or speak Spanish to come to our events or to be a member. And in fact, we're trying to reach out to all businesses.
Well, one would often suggest, by the way, that other chambers of commerce could learn a tremendous amount by returning to a relationship-based environment. I mean, our listeners often hear me talk about social capital on the network. This isn't social networks. It's social capital, which include networks.
Absolutely.
But it's trust, relationship, reciprocity. It's giving and giving and giving, not giving and taking. And that how much of that we seem to have lost in this day and age with us, you know, walking around not just with our BlackBerries in our pocket, it's even in our hand, so you can't get away from that. On the flip side, though, I would suspect that someone like yourself who has worked across so many different business and philanthropic and economic development sectors, you're also trying to bring some connections for the Hispanic community to recognize, though, they need to still step out of in perhaps other venues than just that familial type environment, or they're going to be left behind
right.
in certain areas.
When we've written our own business plans, we look at one component of what we do is kind of that bridge to mainstream. We identify it that way. And one of the advantages we've also had is I've been around this community a long time. I've been a business owner for close to 15 years, and prior to my business brokerage firm, I actually owned a chain of gas stations and convenience stores here in town. So I'd lived through a lot of different experiences in construction and development services and working with our city and our county, and I'm trying to use those experiences or those connections to help our business members in terms of whatever issues they might be having, or connecting them with a lot of the powerful and influential groups in town in terms of economic development. I think chambers in general and our Hispanic Chamber of Commerce can play a major role in the economic recovery we're going through right now.
Oh, and particularly for Tucson, when over 85% of our businesses have less than 25 people.
Yeah, I think that's this is a small business community, and the fastest growing segment is a Hispanic-owned business. I think we've estimated around 65,000 Hispanic-owned businesses in the state of Arizona with some of the data that we've pulled together. But we know the last 2 years have been incredibly tough for people. What we're hearing from our members now is that they want to focus on revenue growth, but they can't, unfortunately, add people to do that. So what they're trying to do is look at additional revenue streams. We get that. We're trying to offer the connections or the resource. Particular areas we're focusing on in this next 6 months and year are really international programs. And how do you do business as a small business across the border? It's not as complicated as it seems. How do we pull resources together in one place as a chamber to help businesses look at that avenue? And then secondly, procurement. Prop 107 passed in the state, which we opposed, and that was the Civil Rights Initiative. But it basically eliminated any preferential programs for women and minority-owned businesses in our state, which is really a sad case in our case, because it's not an even playing field yet.
Yes, that's right.
Ideally, someday we'd love for something like that to be the case, but that's not the case. So what we've been working with our members, whether they're woman-owned or minority-owned businesses, is really work on federal certification and help them with procurement, not only to the government, but also to the larger corporations. That's a challenge for a lot of smaller businesses. And in our case, specifically more the women-owned and the minority-owned businesses. So those are two focuses we have that we think we can help businesses with additional revenue streams that perhaps they're not looking at now.
The other side of just additional education programs, too, the influence that your organization, the Chamber, is playing in the field of education, K through 12. Anything going on in that environment yet?
Not so much yet as a Chamber of Commerce. I mean, certainly personally, I sit
yes,
on high school board of directors, and we have several schools and others that have joined our chamber. But not yet. Right now, it's more of, I think the angle we've had has been more an awareness of all the different private and charter schools and public schools.
Yeah.
I did personally sit on the TUSD audit committee for a couple of years, and so got engaged there, but we're not leading any type of effort in that yet.
That's right. So some of our listeners, again, are business owners, and they hopefully have piqued your interest in your comments about the fastest growing segment, you know, here in the nation, certainly here in our region. Any subtle or not so subtle tips and tricks that come to top of mind? I mean, obviously, knowing you've got to reach out from a relationship standpoint. So this is about picking up the phone. This is about presence. This is about handwritten thank you notes, not just here's my text, you know, box 69852, Dr. Zara. You know, so I'm asking these questions in light of, am I reaching a sufficient enough Hispanic organization, you know, people through this radio show?
Sir, I mean, certainly, as I mentioned before, the Hispanic community is very diverse. So if you're looking at a particular segment, and we'd have need more time for this, but one of the things we've done very well over the last couple or 18 months or so has become a sponsor or host of every major Hispanic event in the community. Now, why does that matter to our members or to the greater community? Is that if you're a small business and you want to buy a booth or you want to connect, as a member, you're going to be aware that Fiesta Grande is happening, you know, Mother's Day weekend, or and they get 30,000 people come through on Grande on the west side of Tucson. If that fits your market, your product, that's something you should be participating in, or the mariachi festival or whatever it might be. But if you don't have the money, perhaps, to have your own booth or be a sponsor, we'll be there. We're a sponsor. We'll have a booth. So we offer up to our member businesses, give us your literature, ideally in Spanish and English, and or however it might be created, and bring that to us, and we'll put it on our table, and we'll be there promoting our member businesses. So we're just offering that other way to reach out to the Hispanic community, because attending community events and getting engaged in the community is key. It's so much more than just the advertising. We also have many media sponsors that focus in Spanish and English on the Hispanic community, and so we offer our members connection to those also.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. That growth in your membership then, from 380 to 718 months, essentially, since you've been on rolls, is there any specific buckets that you would put that growth factor? Was it just more of the same, or did you tap into whole new sectors of new members to come and join?
You know, it's a question often that I'm asked, and really, I hired some great staff. You know, really, it comes down to the people around me. There's no way I could have done this by myself, but some really great staff, and even within our staff, we're pretty diverse, but we also sat back and listened. I host something, it might sound kind of dorky, but we do it, called Coffee with the President,
sure,
and people
absolutely.
Can come have coffee with me about every other month, and we sit and we talk. I don't say much. I sit and listen and take notes and say, how are you hurting? How are things going well? What can we help? What can we do? And we're very quick to put programs and services together, and I think that's really resonated well with our business community. And they come, they realize there's a great buzz going on and some good programming going on around the Hispanic Chamber, and we're ultimately there to help them grow their business. That's the mission.
Yeah, that's absolutely the mission. And obviously in the process, demystify some of the other things can be seemingly completely overwhelming for the small business owner.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we've been through some pretty tough political times this last year with SB 1070 and boycotts, and we were in the middle of a lot of that. So I think people appreciated that we had a strong voice through that, you know, representing our businesses.
So have you had the chance to tap into any of your colleagues that lead other Hispanic chambers elsewhere in the United States?
I have. I mean, a great benefit has been connecting with the U.S. Hispanic Chamber. And actually, I just flew to D.C. and participated on an immigration panel representing Arizona.
Oh, my, that might have
about,
been, that must have been
I was on the hot seat. Immigration from a business perspective. In our opinion, in case anyone out there is wondering, is that, you know, SB 1070 and the immigration bills that are currently at the state legislature have been bad for business. You know, regardless, we feel that immigration should be handled at a federal level. And that's what we went to lobby on and to speak to other Hispanic chambers. Because now there are 13 other states considering immigration bills, much like SB 1070. And I think that's dysfunctional from our perspective, that it should be done at a federal level.
Just so that it's got equity across, you're saying?
Absolutely.
And then it can be backed with the right investments to make sure that it isn't a harmful in the way it's done in the area of safety and wellness.
Because I understand the political debate, but at the grassroots level, it's chamber versus chamber across the border saying, I need to boycott you. No, I'm going to you know, that's ridiculous. So I went out to implore them back during the boycott time to say, please don't boycott us. There's 65,000, as I mentioned, Hispanic-owned businesses and many other businesses that would really be hurt, and this would really be a detriment. So think, as this passes in your own state, we need to all support one another and really speak to our federal legislators.
Mm-hmm. An interesting one. Talk to us then back about your team. One thing that's interesting for our listeners, if you call the Tucson Chamber, the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, which you'd like to give the phone number out, is?
Sure, it's 620-0005.
You'll get their menu, and you won't get just the list of the person and hit three, but also how nicely, and by the way, it's recorded in Leah's voice, so to show her very upfront leadership, which is, I think, a really important touch. It goes back to this whole idea of the family that you're building there, but that you are very clear and distinct about the roles and responsibilities that each of those members have. I think it's a nice connection. But you really have separated out the different segments that you all want to serve then in your leadership tenure?
Absolutely. And I think the style has been, I mean, very small business oriented. We're a small business as a chamber. Mm-hmm. And each of the, everyone in the chamber staff carries their own weight. We all kind of work together, and ultimately we know the goal, help grow our members' businesses. So if you listen to that menu, you know that each of their titles are related to a member benefit ultimately.
Yeah, that's right. So tell me about the role of technology indeed then, the idea of as much as you can do. I mean, you can do face-to-face and get-togethers and so on, but there's also this area of how are you helping the member businesses leapfrog?
Yeah, what's interesting is even as a Chamber of Commerce, we promote most all our events via email blasts. We also are very heavy Facebook users. So we're reaching that portion of the business community that uses that. It's not everybody, we know that. Mm-hmm. But specific to some of our events, our Spanish luncheon we recently had, we actually printed tickets, physical little tickets, and went out and sold them and went door to door to sell tickets to the event, because that's the way we had to do that at that particular event. So we use technology very heavily. We have an app for an iPhone, BlackBerry. We're the only chamber in our community that has an iPhone, BlackBerry app, so you can drive around and look and find all the restaurants that are members and so on. I think that that is a very fast-growing trend within the Hispanic community, but there is still a kind of dichotomy between which Hispanic population uses it and which don't. Mm-hmm. So that's still an area of growth.
Well, I think the other thing our listeners would probably realize, for those of you who have the experience of this, is printing up tickets and go selling door to door is more about more than selling tickets for that specific
Absolutely.
Event. There are other things that go on during that kind of a transaction. It's like anyone who's ever authored a book, you know, not until you go and sit at a book fair and sign your book or have a talk or get feedback to your audience do you really have a clue about what's going on the ground.
No, and I think that's a very interesting example of this luncheon that was entirely in Spanish, because we were particularly focusing on our members and community leaders that are on the south side of Tucson or on the west side of Tucson, who speak Spanish, you know, predominantly in those areas. So as we sold the tickets, we sold maybe 60 tickets mm-hmm. and had maybe had another 60 or so register online, planned for the event, but had over 200 people attend. That's the word of mouth, the grassroots. I mean, some logistical challenges there, but we got through it, and I think ultimately it was a huge success for us. So to have 200 and some people attend, we had a motivational speaker. We did a very professional job in terms of the luncheon, if I do say so myself, and plan to continue to do those quarterly.
Yeah. The trend nationwide, though, is that chambers of commerce, quite frankly, in many areas are at risk. Mm-hmm. Because, for example, a lot of companies, you know, they're sitting there with a plethora of choices, particularly some regions have 15 different communities that have 15 different chamber of commerce, and they all are hitting up the same companies to join. Now, this is going beyond the small business connection, of course. And yet, there are others that will say as well that these large organizations destined to do economic development and represent the region at the state or federal level, that they're out of touch with the grassroots. So what's going on here in Tucson from your perspective?
You know, we have 8 chambers of commerce in our community. And I think some of that is really we need to be more collaborative. I don't know if we should have that many. I mean, there's certainly ways that I think we probably need to hire you, Zara, to do change.
I'm on. The number again is 520-733-5758, thelarsengroup.com. Happy to help.
I'll be writing that down.
You got it.
But in terms of how it's been different for us, I mean, I ultimately think I came from this community and I'm not chamber trained. I did not come into this is the way a chamber does it. So, I mean, in our case, I think that was positive at the Hispanic Chamber, because when we continue to get last year numerous phone calls on, I need a job, here's my resume, can you help me? We threw a job fair.
Job fair together,
and
I remember that.
And that's not a very traditional chamber thing to do. We're going to do it again. So we continue to just come up with events and things and just listen and just help as we can. So we're not trying to fit within a particular box. And that's made us, I think, a little different and stand out in this community.
But I think also, though, nationwide, chambers are realizing this isn't about a divide and conquer. It's about a collaboration and build. So the opportunity, and I could see the wisdom in the board of directors selecting you as a CEO, by the way, because of your ability to connect in so different sectors as, quote, an outsider, but on the inside now, because really looking for ways to connect all those different chambers as well as other advocacy you know, tourism bureaus, what's going on at the state level, et cetera, is so critical. So I have a hunch our listeners that this won't be the last time that we talk to you, Leah. So thanks so much for being here. We wish you well in your continued leadership venues with your team at the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Would you like to give out again the phone number and website?
It's TucsonHispanicChamber.org or 620-0005.
Very good. One real quick question. How do you think you've most changed by leading change during these 18 months' time?
Wow. You know, I think it's really learning more about even my collaborative nature. I tend to work with other people, but it's really been expounded upon, I guess, during these last 18 months.
Exactly. And my guess is also a bit of coming home, too.
Yeah. I love this job. I think I'm in the right spot.
You got it. At the right time.
At the right time.
Thank you very much, Leah.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.